Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. And welcome to our final spring training podcast of 2018, with the Giants opening up the regular season on Thursday in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. And then we will have podcasts next week from AT&T Park for the home opener against the Seattle Mariners coming up on Tuesday. But today we have a great show with four different guests from Giants spring training and just before spring training in Scottsdale, Arizona. Brandon Crawford, Joe Panik, Corey Guerin, and Aramis Garcia, our guests today. Had a chance to talk to the double play combination of Crawford and Panik in San Francisco at Media Day just prior to spring training. Good conversations with both Brandon Crawford and Joe Panik. Let's hear first from Brandon Crawford. Brandon, how was the offseason, and what are your thoughts about the team this year, especially with some of the additions the Giants made?
Offseason was good. Got some relaxing in, went on vacation. Went to Hawaii for a little week with the family, so that was fun. I'm excited about the additions we made. I think we definitely improved our lineup, improved our defense. So I'm excited to get going.
I mean, you see players like McCutchen and Longoria, who were faces of their team, basically, coming over here to San Francisco. I mean, what does that mean? Guys who are really accomplished and, you know, have been around and have proven themselves.
I mean, that's a big reason why I'm excited. I mean, those guys have been great players for their whole careers on their respective teams. And I think it says a lot about what this franchise is trying to do. We don't want to go into rebuilding mode. We went out and got some really good players to make our team even better. And I think, they're two great additions for us. Longoria coming off a Gold Glove season. He's obviously a great hitter. Andrew McCutchen obviously has done so much in his career to go out and get a guy who will also help us on both sides of the field. And then Austin Jackson, a really good defensive center fielder who had a good offensive year last year also, especially off lefties. So, and that's big in our division. So I'm definitely excited for the additions we got.
Yeah, you mentioned a Gold Glove third baseman in Longoria, and you guys kind of had a revolving door over there at third base. I mean, how important is that? You're going to go look to your right, and you got a guy who's so dependable throughout his career.
I mean, that's, like you said, dependable. That's another thing is, he's 32 years old, but he stays on the field, or he has at least anyway, the last, or for most of his career, he's been able to stay away from injury, knock on wood, but, and stay on the field and be productive. So, I mean, he's definitely a big addition for us, and we're happy about him.
And you go back to last season, and are there some positives that you take out of it? I mean, it's hard as a team to lose 98 games. And, I mean, I know you guys wanted to be better. You probably wanted to be better. So what are you taking from last season?
I'm trying to kind of flush last season. like you said, I mean, obviously it was a tough year for the team. Individually, the first year or the first half of the year was pretty draining. Mentally, just with the off the field stuff with my sister-in-law, and then just the struggles of the first half, getting hurt, being on the DL for the first time in my career, and kind of trying to play through all that was pretty draining. But I was happy to be able to kind of bounce back in the second half, and hopefully kind of carry that into this year. But like I said, for the most part, you kind of just want to flush last season, and we do that. We do that any year, whether we're coming off a good year or a bad year. You have to forget about that, and you're 0-0 to start the season this year. So we're always happy to you know, come out of spring with a fresh start and be ready to go for the season.
Did you realize anything about yourself? Because, I mean, you know, you're a human being. You're dealing with, you know, a family tragedy, and you're trying to play professional baseball at the same time. You know, that's taxing to begin with. I mean, you know, to perform at a high level had to be something that was really challenging.
Yeah, and as much as I probably wanted to think that I was not thinking about that while I was playing, I'm sure it was in the back of my mind. I know the first few games, as much as I tried to just focus on baseball, it was definitely, I mean, the thoughts were definitely there. But even, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, going home and having to talk about it with my wife and you know, try to comfort her, that obviously makes it tough. And as much as I'm trying to think about baseball, even months afterwards, you know, you still, your thoughts still kind of go back to that. So I mean, it made it tough, but I don't want to ever use that as an excuse either.
You know, you were rallying there in the second half. When you try to do that as a baseball player with stats all around you all the time, do you have to ignore numbers sometimes if they're not really what you were expecting or what you maybe did before, and you're just trying to have a good second half or maybe last month of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough, especially with the big old scoreboards that every stadium has now, including our own. That's right in center field, so right where you're looking at. When you're stepping into the box, it was tough to see at the All-Star break hitting 220 or so. It was tough, but as a professional athlete, that's what you have to be able to kind of forget about that and not worry about what your stats are at that time and just try to have your best game of your career every time out there. At that point in the All-Star break, I was like, well, you know, it can't get a whole lot worse from where I'm at right now, so I might as well go out there and try to have a good game every game. And, you know, my numbers kind of started going back up to where they usually have been.
How much stock do you take in all the analytics now in baseball? Because I got to be honest, I don't like it so much. I mean, if I'm watching Brandon Crawford play shortstop, my eyes tell me, wow, this guy's great. He's a gold glover. He's making all these great plays. But, you know, there's a lot going on as far as metrics in front offices and among fans, and I don't know how much among players.
I mean, it's definitely something that's starting to take over the game. I mean, you have a lot of these guys that are big into the analytics and all that into the front office now. So they obviously are taking it to maybe a little higher priority. And you know, I think they can be good maybe sometimes. I mean, they can tell you some things that maybe the you know, the old stats like RBIs and stuff, an average may not tell you, I guess, but it's definitely a big part of the game now, and whether you like it or not, you have to take them into account.
I mean, do you think a lot of it's accurate on the defensive side? Because some of those defensive plays that you make, I don't know. I mean, you're trying to get to every ball. I don't know how much the metrics can tell everybody.
The tough part about defensive metrics is that I feel like it's somebody marking where you're catching the ball, and they're deciding whether or not the play should be made, which is kind of tough. So it's especially because there's a different person at every park. So there's so many shifts now where if I'm shifted up the middle and a lefty, you know, hits a ball to straight up shortstop, that's a ball that I'm supposed to get according to the analytics side and the advanced metrics and all that. So that even though it's really not right at me like it would say on the little chart that they're marking it on. So that part's tough. You know, fortunately my numbers have been fine, but you look at somebody like Joe, who's a great second baseman, and his numbers last year weren't very good apparently. So
nice.
So you have to take him for what it's worth, I guess, and go from there.
You know, I'd say my favorite Brandon Crawford play is going up the middle and spinning a 360 and throwing the guy out at first, even a speedy runner. What's your favorite play that you make out there?
Those are definitely fun. Double plays are even more fun because you get two outs for one ground ball. But going to my backhand has always been, I think, my favorite. Just being able to go to your backhand and then use your arm to get the guy out.
I mean, you worked a lot on the backhand, right? I mean, because that's – I don't think that's something that comes natural to people when they first learn how to play baseball, but it seems so natural to you to go to backhands.
I've taken a lot of them, that's for sure. practiced. I try to practice on balls being hit all over the place, but the backhand is probably one of the tougher ones for a shortstop because you have such a long throw, and especially at the big league level where everybody's a step faster. You have to be able to get to it, get rid of it quickly, and put something on the throw. So I think that's what makes it so difficult. So that's the one you have to practice a lot.
We were talking metrics, and you know, everybody's talking about launch angle and exit velocity and that stuff. How much do you look at that as a baseball player?
It's interesting to look at, but it's not something I'm focusing on when I'm hitting in the cage. I know a lot of guys are looking at launch angle, so now they're trying to hit the bottom of the ball. And that's, I mean, to me, that's crazy. It's hard enough to square up the ball. So now you're trying to hit a certain half of the ball. It just, that makes, sounds like it's exponentially tougher than just trying to square it up. So me personally, I'm trying to square the ball up every time. If I happen to hit the bottom of it, great. Give some air under it. I mean, and you look at the numbers, it's obviously if you hit the ball harder in the air, it's going to be good for your slugging percentage, but that's not something I'm focusing on when I'm going to the plate.
Barry Bonds is going to have his number retired here in August, which is pretty cool. You know, there's definitely some different sides to him. He's a polarizing figure. Let's put it that way, because right now he doesn't have enough votes to get into the Hall of Fame. But what do you think about him as this iconic player and getting his number retired? And you grew up as a Giants fan, so you watched him play a lot even before you became a Giant.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the most fun players to watch as a Giants fan growing up. I mean, that's who you came to watch is how many home runs is Barry going to hit tonight. So I mean, I think it's awesome he's getting his number retired. He's, I mean, arguably the best player of that era. So, I mean, I think that's awesome. Happy for him. It was I remember growing up, some of my favorite memories here at AT&T were watching him hit.
Hall of Famer, I mean, it's hard with the, you know, the clause that they have as far as sportsmanship and all that, but what are your thoughts about it?
I definitely think so. Like I said, I think he was the best player of that era. So how do you not let him in?
Last thing before I let you go, the Dodgers are kind of like that measuring stick right now. They made it to the World Series last year. They're pretty loaded. So how do you guys look at the Dodgers and what you want to do as far as competing with them this year?
They're always competitive. No matter if they're in the World Series or out of the postseason, the year before, they're always competitive with us. It's always a big rivalry. We look at them just like we will every other team. The Diamondbacks are going to be tough. The Rockies are going to be tough. The Padres always play us tough, no matter what their record was. We can't look at them as any bigger of a series than any other team. Even though, you know, we know that they always play us tough. They're a good team, and we can appreciate that. But, we're trying to beat whatever team's in that other dugout.
Do you think there's a mutual respect with you and Corey Seager, their shortstop? I mean, you guys are really recognized as two of the best in the game right now at short.
I'd like to think so, yeah. I mean, I think he's a great shortstop. He makes plays look easier than they may be, and I feel like I can appreciate that because that's what I try to do defensively is not try to do anything crazy and not make a play look any harder than it really is. So I appreciate that from the defensive side, and then obviously his offensive numbers speak for themselves.
Brandon, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it, and good luck this season with the 2018 new look Giants.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Giant shortstop Brandon Crawford. Coming up, we'll hear from Joe Panic. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now let's get to the conversation with Giants second baseman Joe Panik. Joe, I was just talking to your double play partner, Brandon Crawford, and we're talking about the optimism of this season. What were your thoughts when you heard about some of these additions?
No, I'm ecstatic. I'll tell you what. Adding, you know, Andrew McCutchen, adding Evan Longoria, adding Austin Jackson, it's going to lengthen out our lineup, makes us better defensively. I mean, you know, to put Kutch and, you know, Longo right in the middle of our order, wherever Boach, you know, is going to put us, adding, you know, three guys, you know, right-handed bats like that, you know, it's going to make a big difference. It lengthens out your lineup. It makes it tough for teams to kind of match up, you know, left on left, right on right, especially when, you know, you have some more right-handed bats like we do. It's, no, I'm excited because we got guys healthy, you know, Bum, Johnny, they're healthy. You know, Melanson, he's healthy. You know, guys are clear of their concussions, whatever. You know, so we're healthy. It's a matter of getting back out there now.
How tough was it to grind through a season like last year when you guys weren't healthy and, you know, you were out of the race in the second half of the year?
You know, it's, you know, when you go into the year expecting to make the playoffs, and, you know, that's the goal every year. You know, as the San Francisco Giants, you know, the expectations are high. And for us to kind of you know, play the way we did, it's, you know, it was very disappointing, you know, especially for, you know, management and, you know, for our management and our fans, you know, our management, they invest a lot in us. You know, they believe in us, and, you know, everybody knows our payroll. Like I said, they believe in us, and they're doing whatever it takes to win. And our fans, they show up every day, good and bad. They showed up. So for us, it was, disappointing, but at the same time, you know, as a professional, you have to try to grind through it and, you know, try to, you know, give it your all every day because you're a professional and you owe it to, you know, the people that, you know, come here and support you every day.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you still had a good season personally, so you did grind through it successfully. What does it say about character? I mean, do you build character maybe? You don't want to have a losing season, but in a season like that, is there a positive that comes out of it?
I mean, it's tough to really think positives on, you know, because, you know, even if you could have a good year personally, for, you know, as a competitor, it's about, you know, the team and it's about winning. I mean, that feeling for me when I came up as a rookie and won a World Series ring, that feeling, that's the feeling you want to have every year. So, you know, the only positive I could think about is, you know, it's a clean slate. And I'll tell you what, there's 25 hungry, very hungry men in this clubhouse because last year lit a fire up under everybody. And I'm sure if you go around the room, I think everybody's itching, just getting, they had that itch to get back out there and just prove last year was an anomaly, and you know what? We'll get back to being Giants.
Was there something that clicked for you offensively? I remember there was that one three-game stretch where you're just hitting everything, and then it just seemed like you took it from there. Was that a big key?
Yeah. What I always tell people is sometimes you go through cold streaks. You go through cold streaks where, you know, the baseball is like a golf ball, and then you know, then there's times where you just, everything kind of slows down in the game, and you know, everything in your swing, everything in your eyes, everything slows down, and that's when the baseball seems like a watermelon, like a beach ball. And you know, for me, it was I really simplify things in my approach, and that's what I'm really trying to take into this year is, you know, just really simplify my load, simplify everything, and simplify everything in my mind. And I took that, you know, that three-game series, and I choked up on the bat a little bit. I've kind of talked about this last year a little bit. I choked up on the bat just to really shorten everything up and get back to being the type of two-hitter I should be. And, you know, I took it and I rolled with it. And like I said, I really kept emphasizing that this offseason. And, hopefully it works out.
What do you think the choking up did for you? Because, I mean, it doesn't take away power. I mean, Barry Bonds choked up on the bat, so it doesn't do that. I mean, did it help you as far as having a quicker swing?
Yeah, especially, you know, August, September, you know, the back can start feeling a little heavy. The course of the season kind of take its toll on you a little bit. So for me, it was kind of just that little bit where it just makes the bat quicker. That's really what it is. It might not be a whole lot quicker, but when you're talking – hundredths of a second. That's the difference between being jammed and getting on the barrel. So the shorter the bat, if it works with Barry Bonds, it could work for anybody. That's the way I look at it. You know, the greatest hitter, I mean, I don't want to compare him and Mays, but that's, let's say, you're talking about one of the greatest hitters ever to play. Like I said, you could learn a lesson or two, but for me, it was just about shortening up, getting more barrel to the ball.
It's interesting thinking about your approach, too, because when you're going well, you're hitting line drives, ground balls, you're using the whole field, but you still have the power to hit the ball out of the ballpark. Do you think if you hit a couple of home runs, is there something that you have to guard against as far as being a little more uppercut? Because, okay, yeah, I hit a couple of bombs. I'm not the guy who's going to hit 40, but you do have enough power to put the ball out of the ballpark from time to time.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me is when I do hit one out or get into a groove. I remember I got into a groove in San Diego where I hit a couple out. It's, don't try to become a pull hitter. Listen, you're going to pull the ball, but you can't be thinking about trying to hit home runs. For me, I'm at my best when I'm trying to stay, left center to right center, stay right in the middle of the field and kind of react. And if the team tries to come in, then you can kind of spin on it and really try to drive it. But the moment I try to, the moment I try to really pull the ball and, try to hit a 422 out there, that's the moment I'm going to be grounding out to second base, popping it up to left. It's so that's really a big thing is mentally an approach staying, through the middle of the field.
You always seem so well-suited to be a number two hitter because of your back control, your patience, like I said, using the whole field. But, Bruce Bochy will move you around in the lineup. So what's your mindset when you're in that two spot compared to the other spots?
It's really knowing basically the situation that you're hitting in. I'm comfortable hitting in any, spot in the order. I think last year, I've kind of got used to hitting all over the place. For me, so I'm hitting eighth. There's times where I'm going to have to be more aggressive with the pitcher hitting behind me. And then it's, if I'm hitting one or two, it's okay. Maybe I can work the count. Maybe I will try to grind through an at-bat, foul a few pitches off. So, Buster's hitting behind me or Longo, Belt, whoever's hitting behind me. That kind of wears the pitcher down or, they see more pitches from on deck. It allows them to be a little more aggressive, so... like I said, for me, if I'm hitting second, I love it because that's where, that's where I've kind of hit a lot of my career. But, like I said, I'm proud that I can be versatile enough to, hit high, low, and, whatever Boch needs.
I was talking to Crawford about metrics in the game, and we were talking about how, you've won a gold glove before, but last year maybe the metrics weren't as high, but he still thought you were just as good. So how did you look at last season defensively, and then how much stock do you take in those metrics that come out?
Yeah, it's very tricky because personally, I saw those numbers, and I took it to heart. I mean, I personally, I looked at, there was another thing, it was like inside edge fielding, it was something like that, and I was looking at like percentages of like plays, and one thing had me the same like percentage, like 10 to 40, like different things, and my percentages of plays made like in those areas was the same as my gold glove year. So I truly don't know how defensive runs saved and the UZR, I don't know how they're calculated, because personally I thought I had a decent year defensively. I made a few more errors, but I played more games also, so it's like fielding percentage was very similar to my gold glove year, and I'm like, okay, it's not like I hit the age 35 wall where my range goes down. So that's where it's tricky with those defensive metrics, because how all of a sudden do you go drop that quick? But I mean, looking at other guys' stuff, you'll see guys' numbers bounce around sometimes. So I mean, I'm not gonna say it's tricky because I truly don't know how it is. But like I said, this offseason I took it to heart and I'm gonna do my damnedest to get those numbers back.
Yeah, maybe it's a motivating factor, but I mean, your defense as a team in the infield can be pretty special. When you look at Longoria winning a gold glove and Crawford, and you've won one, and Brandon Belt is pretty much a gold glove first baseman anyway. So, I mean, you guys have to be pretty excited about what that future is.
Yeah, adding Longo, gold glove winner, it just solidifies the infield. And then, Craw, everybody knows he's the human highlight reel. And I'll tell you what, Brandon Belt doesn't get a lot of credit that he deserves, defensively, because he is just very athletic over there. He's one of the most athletic first basemen out there, you know, running down pop-ups in foul territory or scooping balls. He's got very good range. But, you know, having us four together like this, it's just only – for me, it's going to elevate us just because we're going to push each other to be that much better in preparation. We're going to prepare, you know, the preparation aspect and, you know, just to bring it every day. You know, because you know we want to be the best infield in the game. That's the goal, is to be the best infield. And we got the pieces now. It's a matter of doing it.
To finish up, and before I let you go here, when I think about you in that 2014 World Series, I think about that play where you flip the ball out of your glove. I mean, I'm sure people ask you about it constantly. But is that something that, you know, down the road maybe you'll appreciate more than when you're just playing? You know, you're in the moment as a major league player. Maybe down the road when you're retired and you're telling your kids about it, maybe you appreciate it even more.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, when it happened, it was one of those, like, I can't believe I just did that. But you really don't appreciate it, like, until you step back. Like, honestly, the past 2 years, like, whenever people have asked me about it or I've seen the video of it, I'm like, wow, this really was special. You know, just the play, the moments, you know, like I said, game seven, just something like that. It's something, you know, it's a play you make, you know, and it's surreal to think about, you know, the impact of that play and, just because, but like I said, I think the more you get like further down the road from it, the more you're going to appreciate it, because you never know when you're going to have a moment like that back.
But being in those situations, you know, like you said, Game 7 World Series or any playoff situation, now that you've been there, it must help going forward that you can calm yourself in any situation.
That's the biggest thing, especially when you get into postseason. It's all right, because the intensity amplifies, you know, your heart rate's going, everything is going, your mind's racing, your mind starts to race. And that's what I learned when I was, you know, a rookie, is, you know, how do you calm yourself down? And that's what I was able to do. And just going forward in those big moments, it's, you know, everybody here's got the talents. Who could slow the game down? And so for me, it's I learned how to slow the game down. And, you know, it's definitely a good tool to have going forward.
All right, Joe. Hey, thanks so much for the time. Good luck this season.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Giants second baseman Joe Panik. Coming up, we'll hear from Giants relief pitcher Corey Guerin. But first, let's have a word from our new sponsor, Houseboats.com. If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right, just go to Houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins, as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. Food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorne Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and Houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to Houseboats.com today. Now let's get to the conversation I had in spring training at Scottsdale Stadium with Giants right-handed relief pitcher Corey Guerin.
Corey, tell us about what's been going on in spring training so far for you. You know, I saw you out there the other day and wanted to see what you were working on and how you feel about your health coming into spring training.
Hey, appreciate you having me. Yeah, it's been an exciting spring training. You know, for all of us coming in, we've got some new faces, a lot of, you know, exciting players here in camp. And I think the whole team's pretty excited to get back and kind of get the ball rolling again. You know, for me personally, I learned a lot last year. You know, it's kind of one of the things that comes with a tough season is there's a lot of lessons to learn, a lot of things individually and as a group that you have to take away from a season like that. So coming to this spring, you know, one of the things that I want to work on is continue to just round out my game, working on, you know, tempo, working on, you know, keeping hitters off balance, you know, adding pitches to your repertoire, being able to attack every part of the zone, and really just trying to be a balanced, you know, professional pitcher. So, you know, early in spring, you're kind of going out and just trying to execute pitches. I don't think anybody's stuff is necessarily where they want it to be, but that's kind of part of professional baseball. Is you don't want your best stuff in February. You want it in April through October, and you want to be able to finish strong. So right now, just going out and really focusing on pitching, being smart and, you know, attacking hitters and being in the zone.
I would think that if you're working on a new pitch, this would be the time to do it rather than during the season. So how do you implement that during spring training? Are you going to add another pitch to your repertoire?
Yeah, you know, in spring, especially out here in Arizona, and this year we're playing the American League West, we're going to see a lot of the teams that we face all year long. So a lot of it depends on opponent. You know, if we're playing LA, I don't really want to show them anything new or show them, you know, some of the things that I'm going to be adding this year. So you kind of pick and choose. You know, if you're playing, like we played Kansas City the other day, we're not going to be seeing them this year. So that was a great opportunity to go out and work on some stuff. So, you know, you pick and choose your moments. You talk to, you know, your catchers and kind of get on the same page and figure out, hey, is this a time that would be good to work on growing a little bit, or are we just going to go out there and kind of just try to get three outs, that kind of thing. So it's something you learn. I think the longer you're in the game, you kind of figure those things out and figure out if you're going to be, you know, working in the pen on stuff or if you have opportunities in the game. So fortunately this season in the spring, I've had a couple opportunities to go out and work on some stuff, and it's felt really good working with Kurt Young and Hergy, new bullpen coach. They've been great in trying to help me get some feedback on, you know, what looks good, what might need some adjusting, and, you know, having Buster and Hundo back there to help you as well is a huge advantage.
Does it take a little while to get that relationship going with a new pitching coach? Because it's been a while since the Giants have had a different pitching coach. Dave Rigetti was here a long time.
Yeah, you know, it was a big adjustment. I think we were fortunate to have, you know, Rags and Guardy here for a long time that really created an amazing culture and environment and a reputation for the pitchers and catchers that, you know, we have here in San Francisco. You know, that being said, coming into this offseason, I was able to get to know Kurt and Matt really quickly. They're both based out of Scottsdale right here, and we're able to be at the team facility all offseason. My wife and I moved out here this offseason, so, you know, we really tried to hit the ground running, getting to know those guys just to build that relationship just on a personal level. But professionally, I mean, you're not going to find better guys, you know. Kurt's track record kind of speaks for itself and what he did in Oakland. You know, Hergy's history with this organization and just in the league, you know, is outstanding. So we've got two great guys, two great baseball guys that are very forward-thinking, you know, very intentional about how they approach not only the game, but, you know, working with a pitching staff. So I think there are a lot of exciting things to look forward to this year with those guys and what we have going forward.
You know, some teams, when they lose a lot of games, they're going to break it up. You know, you're going to go with younger players. But the Giants have said, hey, let's try to win, and they bring in veterans. So what does that mean to you guys that you were able to get those veteran guys that have definitely had a proven track record for sure?
It means a lot. You know, I think everybody on this team, you know, had an eye on what the front office was going to be doing this offseason. And, you know, I think, you know, early on when we saw Matt Moore go, you know, there was a little bit of concern, like, we didn't know if they were going to be, you know, tearing this thing apart or, you know, what exactly was happening. But, you know, going out and getting Longoria, going out and getting McCutchen, bringing in Austin Jackson, Tony Watson, every one of those moves bolsters, you know, the confidence of this team. And we knew we had a good team. We had a lot of things, you know, bounce against us last year with injuries and just momentum swings, things like that. It was a difficult year. You know, but I think we have to give a ton of credit to the front office, the aggressive moves they made, you know, to accomplish a lot this offseason and, you know, reinvigorating this team with, you know, new talent, you know, confidence heading into the year. This is an exciting time for us. I know as players here in camp, we're really excited about the team we have. I think we're itching to, you know, get to San Francisco and start playing games and start winning games because we've got a great core here. You know, there are world champions on this team. We've got multiple MVPs, gold gloves everywhere. You know, I look at our lineup and it's going to be a challenging lineup for opposing pitchers to face. So that's going to be fun. I you know, I expect us to score a lot of runs, and as a pitching staff, you know, that makes us excited to go out and put up zeros.
You know, you think about the relief role, it's always been important, of course, but now, I mean, you look at the postseason last year, just relievers are coming in earlier and earlier. Have you thought about, you know, how the role has changed, and does it change anything as far as you're concerned, you know, about when you need to be ready to go in a game?
Yeah, you know, fortunately for us, you know, Boach is, you know, the best in the game at how he handles a bullpen. So we've always been conscious of, you know, being ready to go, you know, throughout the game, whether it's in the first inning or the ninth inning. He looks for the opportunity to win, and so you have to be prepared. You know, I think you look around the league and you do see teams using bullpens in new ways and matching guys up in different ways. So it's exciting for me as a bullpen guy, as somebody who likes to see the progression of baseball, how we're getting smarter, you know, how we're going to work to get better. As a pitcher, you love to be put in situations to succeed. So it's exciting to see how we're doing that in new and different ways and how the league is continuing to grow in that way. You know, it's a growth industry. You know, whether you're on the field or in the front office, you're continuing to look for ways to win. And the bullpen seems to be an area where there's a lot of focus on that, and in particular in our division. You know, I think you're seeing teams going out and, you know, signing bullpens, you know, for depth. The way teams are using bullpens in our division is kind of, you know, front of the, you know, new wave of how this game's getting played. So it's fun. We get to see it and be a part of it at the highest level, and that's really all you can ask for.
You knew that Major League Baseball was going to try to make some changes as far as speeding up the game, and you're the Giants player representative. What do you think about the mound visit rule? I know talking to Evan Longoria yesterday, he said, you know, it really wasn't going to change the fact that if he needed to go to the mound, he's going to do it. What have you guys been talking about as far as that?
Yeah, I think everyone's interested to see how it plays out. You know, just conceptually, you hear it and you understand what it is, but there's so many games and so many situations that arise in a game that you just can't foresee. And communication is a huge part of baseball, both for safety and for quality of product. You know, you need to be conscious of what's going on out there. Everybody needs to be on the same page. So I think it'll be interesting to see how umpires honestly have to enforce it and react, because for sure there are going to be situations where it's their call, you know, whether or not they allow stuff to happen or how strictly they have to enforce the rule. So, you know, I understand, you know, the direction that the league feels like they have to move as far as pace of play. I think as players, we want to see a quality product for fans. You know, we don't want delays in the game. We want the game to move along for fans to be entertained. But we also want to put out the best product possible, and that's baseball being played at its highest level. Communication is a huge part of that. So there's going to be definitely a lot of importance on players knowing what's going on. You know, having communication work very smoothly is going to be important this year. So, you know, I think it'll be something that kind of plays itself out. We'll see, you know, how it works. You know, I think we're all interested to see how that goes.
I would think as a relief pitcher that you really don't want to worry about speeding up, though, too much, because, I mean, a lot of times you'll come into a game, it's bases loaded, it's a tough situation, and you're really trying to concentrate. That's when the game sort of slows down for most relief pitchers. So is that something that could affect you, you know, if they're trying to speed it up?
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of guys didn't want to see balls and strikes and things like that attached to the pace of play. You know, the mound visits, things like that, it's not necessarily tied to speeding up and slowing down as far as delivery, things like that. I think there is, you know, an emphasis on like, hey, we want to not have 5-hour games, things like that. But I think fans and players alike both were pretty outspoken in that, you know, they didn't want to see the quality of play impacted because we're trying to pitch in 20 seconds instead of 25, you know, that kind of a thing. So players are going to do what it takes to be successful out there. And some hitters need more time. Some pitchers need less time. Like, it's just there's an ebb and flow to each individual guy. And timing is a huge part of baseball. So, you know, I expect guys to go out there and compete and do what they have to compete. And we'll see how the pace of play stuff works out. But, you know, I'm glad that there weren't too many decisions made that really impacted those kind of things as far as, you know, the outcome of a game being determined by, you know, balls and strikes because of time.
Corey, thanks a lot for the time. Good luck in spring training and then into the regular season.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That's Giants reliever Corey Guerin, also in spring training in Scottsdale. Had a chance to sit down with one of the Giants prospects, catcher Aramis Garcia, who was in Giants Major League spring training this season.
Aramis, tell us about the experience here, Major League spring training. What are some of the key points that you've learned so far?
Yeah, you know, it's a different vibe this year. And, you know, honestly, it's been a lot of fun here in camp. There's a lot of veteran guys here, so it's been awesome just being able to, you know, pick guys' brains and just watching you know, guys that have been around for a long time, and just seeing how they do things and how they go about their business.
How important is it to talk to a lot of the pitchers, kind of get to know them, their personalities, you know, what they throw? I mean, there's so many pitchers in camp, but it's probably a pretty long task to try to talk to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but you just try to get a feel, you know, for everybody, what they like to do, the pitches they throw. And, you know, it's extremely important as a catcher, because you gotta develop game plans and how you gotta attack guys and things like that. But a lot of these guys I've worked with in the past, and you know, the guys that I haven't, just, you know, watching them, seeing what they like to do, and their strengths and weaknesses.
Tell us about your experience coming back from injury. It had to be difficult, but when you did come back, you were swinging the bat really well. So what was it like last season for you?
You know, last season was great. It was my best year professionally. But yeah, you know, like you said, coming off the injury, I worked really hard in the off season, and even with the short off season, I because of the fall league, I was able to get some, you know, some good work in, and I just went into last year just attack mode, you know, you know, was able to put together some good games, and yeah, just coming off of a tough year, but all that's behind me, and like I said, it was just attack mode.
Yeah, the thing I noticed watching you in San Jose is that pitchers couldn't make a mistake with you. I mean, you jumped all over it. Is that part of your philosophy? Hey, I'm waiting for this guy. The minute he makes a mistake, I'm going to hit it out of the ballpark.
Absolutely. You know, just keeping things simple. You know, pitchers can – you got to look for those mistakes, you know. And something that I've been working on, too, is honing in on that power. You know, looking for counts to use it on. And, you know, when that pitch shows up in that zone that you're looking in, you put a good swing on it and do some damage.
How about on the catching end? What are some of the things that you improved on? I mean, did you work a lot on footwork the last couple of years?
You know, this past off season and the year before this year, or last year, I worked a lot on my receiving. And last year especially, I got a lot of data and, you know, stats on things that I needed to work on, zones that I needed to improve on from a receiving standpoint. That's something that I really worked hard on. And I feel really good behind the plate so far in camp. But moving forward, just developing game plans, you know, as you move up, things like, you know, scouting reports and things like that are more available. So using that, you know, with, you know, what your pitcher throws and just developing game plans is something that I'm working on moving forward.
That's really interesting, because I didn't know that there were stats or data available for catchers to know what they're doing as far as receiving the ball. Can it be overwhelming, though? Can there be too much? I mean, how do you concentrate on what's important?
You know, you just got to see on what you need to improve on, and just kind of develop a game plan from there. You know, in the off season, I just did a lot of machine work, and you know, I have hot zones that I receive really well and zones that I needed to work on. So just doing that, I feel like I was able to get some really good quality work in.
The Arizona Fall League, you mentioned that. You know, how enjoyable is that? What kind of a learning experience is it?
Yeah. You know, you're facing some really good competition in there. So it was awesome being able to play at that level every single day. And we had a really good group this year, you know, with Shaw, Duggar, Beattie, Sear, Snelton. I mean, we had a – you know, we the Giants were represented really well this year, so it was fun just getting able to work with, you know, your teammates, but then also getting to meet guys and playing that level every day.
How is the camaraderie with that? When you come up through the system with players, you know, you become friends and then you kind of make it up together and you check on each other and how you're all doing.
Yeah, you know, it's everything, you know, because we're all working towards the same goal. And, you know, the most important thing, too, is knowing that those guys have your back and that you have theirs. And I think once you develop that trust, I think that's when you go out there and you really start having fun. And that's how, you know, in my opinion, that's how you win games.
Getting back to catching, were you always a catcher even as a little kid? And were there catchers that you looked at in the major leagues that maybe you could try to emulate?
I started catching at a pretty young age. But, you know, I pitched and I played the field too. But it wasn't until I got to high school that I kind of took it on full time, because I wanted to hit. So, but growing up, I mean, I always watched Yadier Molina, and yeah, I mean, it was kind of self-taught for me, honestly, just watching a lot of videos and things like that. But I think from a defensive standpoint, I've really come a long way.
I remember, you know, Little League, I was a catcher, and I remember it's like, okay, if you're not afraid of the ball, you're going to be the catcher. But you learn really quick that, hey, this is not easy. I mean, there's going to be foul balls. It's dangerous back here, and you got to be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes with the position. And, you know, as a catcher, you kind of develop a certain numbness, you know. You catch foul tips, and it's almost like a norm, you know. And then, you know, like with extra inning games and things like that, you don't even feel it anymore. It's almost just like an endurance back there.
And, you know, your injury actually occurred on the bases, not behind the plate. The facial fracture that you had, I mean, that had to be surprising to you that, you'd have an injury like that because it's pretty unusual.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, in the recovery process, I kind of took it as that, you know. So it was kind of just a freak injury, you know, something that doesn't happen a lot. So when I came back, I didn't want to let it, you know, hinder me. And it was funny because in my first rehab start, I actually had an opportunity to break up a double play, and I just got right in there. And I think it's because of the mindset that I had that, you know, just to not let it hinder me and, you know, just go out there and play.
Get it over quick. Before I let you go, calling pitches, I always find that to be fascinating. You know, I remember Trevor Brown telling me that a lot of times he would think alongside what Buster was doing, like he'd be watching a game and, okay, here's what I'd call here, and that's what he called. Do you find yourself doing that when you're not playing, just to try to have that mindset?
Absolutely. You know, it's so easy in the dugouts to get, get caught up in conversations non-baseball related or just talk about – you know, just random things. But, you know, when I'm in the dugout, I try to really just watch the game. And if I get an opportunity to watch Buster or Hundley behind the plate, and, you know, when the big guys are pitching, just getting to see what they throw and, you know, their thought process. And you can pick up on a lot of things just by watching the game. So that's something that I definitely try to do.
Good luck this season.
Thank you.
That's Giants catcher prospect Aramis Garcia. I want to thank him, Corey Guerin, and the Giants DP combination of Brandon Crawford and Joe Panic for joining us here today on Inside China Basin. We'll be back with you next week on Tuesday, the Giants' home opener against the Seattle Mariners. And Ray Woodson will be joining us throughout the 2018 season. Looking forward to that. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.